I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question only. How do you feel?
I feel good, and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's CBS all that really matters. Radio. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Well,
we thank
we're
you
all
for
a little
carving
crazy.
Out time on a daily
the
basis.
The mothership
find
has connected.
Us, to listen to it, hang out with us. Coming up this hour, we've got a dumber ship story for you, including a scathing obituary, which usually is always flowery prose, positivity, and wonderful things about somebody's legacy. Well, how about when it turns ugly? Got that for you coming up in about 17 minutes from now. I was not surprised when I saw Dan Hampton's comments about his 1980s Bears. But I do get disappointed because there is no greater what if in football history than what if the 1985 Bears had a real quarterback. And yes, they had one in 85, but they kind of never had one after that. Dan Hampton, part of that Bears squad that was one of the most dominant teams of all time. They went 15-1. Their only regular season loss was on Monday night to the Miami Dolphins and Dan Marino, simply because Marino did something no other quarterback, no other offense could do in 1985, and that was beat the Bears blitz. See, their 46 defense was predicated upon sending more attackers than you had blockers. And because of their tenacity and their speed and their aggression, if you had six guys to block, they would send seven and get to you in a lightning fast time. If you brought eight blockers, they would send nine. There was just no way to beat them because they always found a way to send one more than you could block. And there was a huge intimidation factor. When you were staring across the line from Dan Hampton and Steve McMichael and Mike Singletary and Otis and Wilbur Marshall, Otis Wilson, and they're just coming after you as heat-seeking missiles, looking to tear you limb from limb, and they're knocking out multiple quarterbacks per game. It seems impossible that that team, which only lost once in the regular season, and then shut out the Giants in the divisional round, shut out the Rams in the NFC title game, and should have shut out the Patriots in the Super Bowl, winning 46-10, could never have even reached the Super Bowl again. It seems impossible. That team was built in such a devastating fashion. How could they have never gotten back to a Super Bowl? So there's always this what if. And what happened? What happened? How did the 85 Bears never even make it back to a Super Bowl? Dan Hampton said, quote, "If my team had Jay Cutler at quarterback, we would have won four Super Bowls." Yeah, I got a tough time believing that because Jay Cutler is still Jay Cutler. And Jay Cutler had a tremendous arm and had tremendous talent, but we just had Brian Urlacher here on this show. We just had Brandon Marshall here on this show the last couple of weeks. Both those guys, teammates of Jay Cutler when he was in Chicago. And what did we hear from those two guys? Number one, Brian Urlacher saying, "I had no problem with Jay Cutler, but he wasn't my favorite teammate." That's pretty damning. When a guy who's your quarterback and the best quarterback arguably that you played with, you say, "He wasn't my favorite teammate." And then Brandon Marshall saying, "I played with him in Denver and I played with him in Chicago, and something changed when he got to Chicago." It's a totally damning legacy that he leaves. So don't sell me that Jay Cutler is going to win four Super Bowls, because Jay Cutler wasn't a gamer enough. He wasn't a competitor enough. He wasn't great enough to win four Super Bowls. And I know that you say with a great defense, what could happen? I mean, look, Rex Grossman got to a Super Bowl with Brian Urlacher's great defense in Chicago. But push comes to shove in the playoffs, man. You need leaders. You need guys that can make plays when it matters most. You need guys that are competitors. And Cutler was never any of that. The issue is, I mean, could Jay Cutler have gotten them back to a Super Bowl? Maybe. Remember, that team also had Walter Payton, but nearing the end of his career. They won in 85. He retired after the 87 season. The thing was, you could have had Jay Cutler, but you had poor coaching. And this is ultimately Mike Ditka's cross to bear. Mike Ditka didn't know how to fix the offense. Ditka was a one-dimensional type of coach. He didn't really know X's and O's. He's not a real X's and O's guy. He played. He was a Hall of Fame tight end. He was an assistant coach for a while. But when they won the Super Bowl, that was Buddy Ryan's defense. Buddy Ryan's defense then followed him to Philadelphia, where the Eagles had one of the best defenses in the league, if not the best defense. History will forget how great those Eagles defenses were, but Buddy Ryan made them a snarling pack of dogs. What was the common bond between those Eagles teams of the 90s and the 85 Bears? Buddy Ryan. Now, Buddy had Reggie White, but Buddy also found a defense that had Jerome Brown for a short amount of time, Clyde Simmons, Wes Hopkins, Seth Joyner, Eric Allen, a lot of great talent, but made them great. Buddy was also limited as a coach. He was a great defensive mind, terrible offensive mind. Mike Ditka was a great motivator in some ways. In some ways, I think he was the perfect guy for the 85 Bears. Swashbuckling, we bark loud. We then come in, we're going to kick the house down, we're going to kick the door down and take everything in your house. He instilled that in the 85 Bears, that we're the bullies. But Ditka's not a great coach, wasn't ever a great coach. And offensively, the same thing with Buddy Ryan. They could not fix an offense. And so when you really look at what the 85 Bears should have accomplished, they should have accomplished more. Because the defense was kind of running itself, even after Buddy Ryan left. They had one of the number one defenses in the league in 1986, went 14-2. But in the playoffs, Ditka decided to go with Doug Flutie as his quarterback. And Doug Flutie stunk in that game. In 87 against Washington, in 86 rather, against Washington in the divisional round. Stunk. At home, they lost. Defending Super Bowl champions, first playoff game, lost. Then 87 rolls around. They're, again, an excellent team. They're 11-4. They win the division. They have a home playoff game. And what happens? Washington comes into their house again and beats them. Poor quarterbacking. McMahon is on that team, but McMahon doesn't really, you know, he's not what McMahon was in 85. Ton of injuries, a lot of inconsistency, and Ditka can't fix the offense. 88 rolls around. They go 12-4. They have home field advantage at home in the NFC Championship game against the warm weather finesse Niners, as they were known. And the Niners go in there and totally punk them. They go into Soldier Field and win 28-3. 28-3. Jim McMahon, terrible game. 121 yards and an INT. Mike Tomczak had to play in that game. The simple fact of the matter was, you could have had Jay Cutler. Mike Ditka couldn't fix that offense. Didn't know how to fix the offense. Would have been better. Would have been better. But didn't know how to fix it. So the 85 Bears are embarrassed because they didn't win more. Dan Hampton has never liked Jim McMahon. They're embarrassed because they should have won so much more. But there's also a delusion when you say, yeah, if we had Jay Cutler, we would have won four times. Yeah, I don't think so. Because you also ran up against some excellent teams that era when the NFC was powerhouse. Ran into the 86 Giants that were great. Ran into the 88 Niners that were great. Ran into the 84 Niners, which were superhuman. And then by the time 90 rolls around, you're kind of a shell of your former self. So I'm just sick. I mean, we get sick and tired of the 72 Dolphins continually celebrating the undefeated season, popping champagne. I'm equally as tired of the 85 Bears of continually lamenting all the stuff that they should have accomplished. Yeah, you should have accomplished a lot more. It's your fault you didn't. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. I love the feedback I'm getting on the weird topless girl that was walking down the street in front of me on our Facebook page. I'll go back and I'll read some more of that coming up here. But we've also talked about how apparently Amy Lawrence doing the overnights here on CBS Sports Radio, and she does a great job. She's done great things with that time slot after we left. She's very, very talented. Has named her car. And it was like an open audition for the listeners to figure out what they should name her. What was it? It was a Subaru Forester. 2015 Subaru Forester she just got. So she's super fired up about this car. And she's naming it Princess Leia because it's white and it's pretty in her mind. So do we have that audio? Can we play that? Okay, let's play this one more time because I am uncomfortable with naming inanimate objects such as your car.
Hey peeps, welcome to another work week. Unless you're on vacation, and then I am jealous. I just wanted to say thank you so much for the hundreds of suggestions for what I should name my new car. I have come up with the perfect name for my 2015 Subaru Forester. She's white, she's pretty, she's perfect, she's special. May I present Princess Leia, my new vehicle. Some of you decided Star Wars would be a great theme. I like it.
I kind of love also calling a 2015 Subaru Forester perfect. It's the perfect machine. It is the absolute perfect vehicle. Not a Lamborghini. Not a Bentley. 2015 Subaru Forester. There has never been an automobile that has been manufactured more perfectly.
She's white. She's pretty. She's perfect. She's special.
Now, I will tell you that it sounds like, even though I'm uncomfortable with people naming cars, sounds like you guys are totally supportive of this. Which I'm slightly surprised at. Now, Darren writes, what's wrong with her driving Princess Leia? Han Solo did. Okay, that's not exactly above board. Okay. Joe tweets in, generally speaking, I think women can get away with naming cars. It's endearing when they do it. Huh. Nick tweets in, I got a 99 supercharged Buick Regal, named it Diesel. My buddy has a black Silverado, named it Betty. Naming works with friends in a convo. Wayne tweets in, musicians name their instruments. A lot of people spend more time with their cars than any one person. Okay. I still, musicians and their guitars, maybe I could get on board with that, but the cars? John tweets in, I've got a pic of the first day I brought her home. And this was some car that he bought, black car. And he writes, Knight Rider, hashtag people naming cars. William writes, naming a car is more of a superstition, like naming a car after a woman so you treat her right. Some believe it translates over. West tweeting and B.B. King named his guitar Lucille, just saying. Yeah, that I'm more on board with naming your guitar, especially if you're like a legendary B.B. King. You know what? It may be like I'd be okay if Richard Petty or Dale Earnhardt Sr. named their cars. We're just talking about a regular old person. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that has to be reserved for greatness, but I mean, Pete the Body Bellotti has done it. He named his car Mickey.
That's right. I am greatness.
You are greatness personified. It's a nice Dodge, too.
It's definitely a nice Dodge. Are we being too hard on a Subaru, though? I think we're critical of the Subaru.
Oh, it's fine. I mean,
because you said if it was a Lamborghini, you'd name it, right?
No, I said I could understand calling it the perfect car.
Okay, well, I mean, hey, the Subaru runs on all cylinders.
Yeah.
Give it a better name.
I just don't know. It's perfect? It's the perfect car? I don't know. What?
Wait till
she's
the first
white. She's pretty. She's perfect. She's special.
Okay, so it sounds like you guys are cool with naming cars. I guess that's where we're at. I guess I'm the weird one here. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. Once you guys want to weigh in on Jay Cutler and the 85 Bears conversation, we'll do that coming up next and get to your dumber ship when obituaries go bad. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
How do you do CPR on a turtle?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's a great question.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself,
happy Monday to you, everybody. And a reminder that on YouTube, you could watch clips of the show, the best of, every single day or on YouTube. So just simply go to our CBS Sports Radio YouTube page and check out our video clips of every day's show and get caught up. That's youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Nick is in Tennessee, listening on CBS Sports Radio 640 there. What's up, Nick?
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Just a couple quick things. You mentioned the Bears couldn't beat the Niners and all those other teams. Really, it was the Redskins they couldn't beat. Remember, the 2 years after the shuffle, 86 and 7, the Redskins knocked them out at Soldier Field both years.
Yep. They lost in 84 to a great Niners team, then 86, 87 to Washington, then 88 to that Niners team again. But, yeah, those 86 and 87 teams were primed to go back to the Super Bowl, but they couldn't even get to the NFC Championship game.
Exactly right. And one team that did beat were the Eagles, and I'm an Eagles fan, and listen, those buddy years were my first years watching the team, so I have a special place for them. But let's be realistic. Like you said, they didn't have an offense. Their offense was Randall to the left, Randall to the right, run, Randall, run. So let's have some fun with this. You mentioned Cutler and the 85 Bears. Let's put Cutler on the 90 Eagles. Do they get to the Super Bowl or even the NFC Championship game? I mean, they had some weapons around them. I mean, I know Herschel came a couple years after that, but it wasn't like it was a terrible offense. It was just all centered on Randall.
I think that because Buddy Ryan was so limited in what he could do or figure out offensively, he basically ignored the offense. And I don't think Jay Cutler makes them better. I think Jay Cutler needs strong coaching. I think he needs strong direction. I think he needs to understand what is expected of him. And you can't ask him to do too much, especially in a tight game in the playoffs and things of that nature. And that 90 Eagles team had one of the greatest defenses of its generation. And it had good wide receivers, Calvin Williams, Fred Barnett. I think Keith Jackson was the tight end on that team. Decent skill position guys. But again, it just became, okay, Randall, bail us out. I don't really know what's going on in the offense. We'll fix the defense, though. We'll make sure the defense is nasty. And that's just not going to work. It's just, you can't. Both Buddy and Ditka had the same exact thing, which is amazing. They win the Super Bowl together in 1985. They have one of the most dominant teams, historic teams ever. After they split apart, do you realize combined, they won one more playoff game combined after they split apart. And that was Ditka over Buddy in the Fog Bowl. In other words, they were never any good apart because they both had the same exact limitations. I know that Buddy never won a playoff game. I think that was the only win of Ditka's after 85. That's crazy. They were just not great game coaches. They were great coordinators in their own right. But they were both so limited. But, I mean, the fact that the 85 Bears, they couldn't get back to the Super Bowl is crazy. James is in Shreveport, 100.7 here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, James?
Hey, how you doing, man? I'm a little bit younger than maybe some of the other listeners, but I just want to talk to you about, you know, all the Cutler's former teammates, you know, supposedly bashing him. You got to remember when Cutler went to the Bears in that trade, everyone in New York was screaming for the Jets to get Cutler, get Cutler, get Cutler, get Cutler. And he came into a team that had Urlacher and Lance Briggs and Olin Krutz and all this strong personalities, and he didn't necessarily need to take over. And even with Cutler's personality being that it is, like, it's probably something he never wanted. And so he came into a system with Lovie Smith as head coach, who had never really had a real offense in his entire tenure, continually cycled through offensive coordinators. You know, Mike Martz
was horrible. Mike Tice's offensive coordinator was horrible. Ron Turner was the most garbage offensive coordinator I've ever seen. And then he finally gets real playmakers and weapons around him 1 year with Mark Trestman before he gets run out of the league, and with Forte in his prime and Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffery coming out with the contract, and throws for 4,000 yards. So I don't want to say Cutler's a fantastic QB. He's not Manning or Brady or any other of his contemporaries, but he gets continually dogged by the media for being a horrible teammate and a horrible player, when the reality is there are many years in his career he was a top 10, top 12 QB. He just didn't have any weapons around him. When he first gets to Chicago, he has Moose and Muhammad.
So let me jump in there, James. I think it's fair to say that most years Jay Cutler was a top 10 or top 12 QB. But top 10 and top 12 QBs, that's only the top third of the league. I mean, so is he a top third of the league quarterback? Sure, but that's not a great quarterback. So why does he get dogged? He gets dogged because everybody knows that was within that organization that he had a terrible attitude. That he wasn't a guy that could lead. He wasn't a guy that could command the huddle. He wasn't a guy that would demand more out of his teammates. And maybe that happens once he got paid. Maybe that happens once he starts dating a Hollywood star, a reality star. Whatever that was, he lost something. And you're right, the Bears cycled through OCs, and that didn't help consistency. But what they were doing was desperately trying to make the most out of a guy that they had paid all that money to that had all of this talent. And so you've got to lay the blame, some of the blame, on Cutler, too, for getting all of those guys fired. And then the second part is you don't have teammates defending him. The media and fans can crush a guy all he wants. But if Brian Urlacher comes into our studio and says, everybody's got it all wrong, Cutler is the man, that guy was great, I'd play for him any day of the week, I loved having him as a teammate, he was a leader, that would speak volumes. Brandon Marshall, same thing. All those guys are taking their own shots at Cutler. So what does that tell you? It's time for Dumbership.
You earthlings are strange life forms. DA, should we really highlight these weirdos?
Being weird is not a crime.
It's your latest installment of The Dumbership.
Well, as always, we've got a connection to Florida and the Dumbership. Cornelia June Rogers Miller died in February. Now, nearly 4 months later, recently, there was an obit posted in the newspaper in Murphy, North Carolina. She lived part of the time in Florida and then had a summer home in Murphy, North Carolina. The obit writes, Cornelia June Rogers Miller died alone after a long battle with drug addiction and depression. We are thankful for the life that was issued forth because of June by virtue of her daughters and granddaughters. We wish she could have appreciated the abundance of life she was given, but drugs were a major love in her life. June had no hobbies, made no contribution to society, and rarely shared a kind word or deed in her life. Please let June Miller's life be a cautionary tale. Addiction and hatred are no es bueno for the living. I'm serious. That's what it says. We speak for the majority of her family when we say her presence will not be missed. By many and very few tears will be shed. There will be no lamenting over her passing. There will be no service, no prayers, and no closure for the family she spent a lifetime tearing apart. We cannot come together in the end to see it to it that her grandchildren and great-grandchildren can say their goodbyes. Her legacy has already been written. I mean, what? The end, by the way. What obit says addiction and hatred are no es bueno for the living?
Well, cutting right to the punch.
Had Sean died shortly after his surprise party when the wounds were still fresh, his family might have written something similar to that.
We're just throwing Spanglish in the middle of an obituary. No es bueno for the living. And that sounds like a t-shirt that I would buy online, like a graphic tee. No es bueno for the living.
The question is, where there's smoke, there's fire here, you know, right?
In terms of what?
Did somebody from the family really write this?
I think so. Now, nobody knows who wrote this, so they're trying to investigate it. Some have said this could have been one of her sisters that hated her. But one of her sisters said, it wasn't me. And then one of them can't be tracked down yet. I mean, this is a sister that hated her sister and just went full on heel, wrestling heel with the obit. And frankly, I find it to be a power move. I think it's just...
Well, she can't answer back.
You got to respect it. You got to respect...
Especially the Spanglish. Respect that.
I don't know if the right thing to do is to berate the dead. I don't think that that's probably the proper thing to do, but it's a power move. It's a rare move.
Sounds like she deserves it, too.
Yeah. I mean, if she tore the family apart via hatred and addiction to drugs, you know, that's one last shot and let the world know. I mean, you know what? I kind of respect it. It's a power move.
So you're pro bad obit tearing up the dead. Just to clarify.
I think because it's done so rarely and this one feels like it really came from the heart.
So if this became like a common trend, it would get
like
sickening,
right? No, I wouldn't like it.
Okay. So as long as you're original about it.
Yeah.
So we don't want any doppelgangers, any copycats.
Nah.
So you've gone from hating dogs and babies to loving dogs to now loving bashing dead people?
But when you put it that way.
It's been a roller coaster 2 weeks for DA.
Ethically, I'm all over the place. When we come back, we've got your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
We're chewing Big League Chew with Patrick Mahomes.
You gotta kind of like spray with your tongue and then kind of just blow the air underneath your tongue.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
41 minutes past the hour. Time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Summer's heat can cause your battery fluids to evaporate. Get your battery tested for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the battery you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. And you can submit a question by going to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros or tweeting it at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Anthony tweets, in DA, since the Knicks screwed up the David Griffin hiring, who will end up with a GM job now? I don't even think they know. This is remarkable. And it's remarkable only because the Knicks continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. David Griffin is beyond qualified to run the Knicks. Does he guarantee building you out of the mess that you've made? No. But David Griffin was the general manager in Cleveland when the Cavaliers made 3 straight NBA finals. He didn't acquire LeBron, but he helped acquire Iman Shumpert, J.R. Smith, Timofey Mozgov, and the team that was built and won the championship last year. Now, the Knicks are in negotiations with him, and suddenly last night he pulls out of the negotiation and says, I'm good, which is par for the course when you're a qualified candidate and you're talking to the Knicks. What happened? He was worried about having final say on the roster. Why? Because Steve Mills wants to be the president, and Steve Mills is the acting GM right now. Why is that an issue? There's plenty of presidents and GMs. It's an issue because Steve Mills is a James Dolan right-hand man. Steve Mills and James Dolan have been together for a while, and what you can never trust inside that organization is who trusts who, who's paranoid of who, and who's doing things just to save their own hide. There is a legion of employees within the organization that will do anything it takes to keep their own job, thus meaning they'll do whatever it takes to keep the owner happy. And the owner is a trigger-happy, paranoid bully. So that's where this all stems from, is that Phil Jackson wanted all the control, all the power. Well, James Dolan gave it to him because that was going to be the only way you get Phil Jackson there. Now, Phil Jackson screwed it all up because he was terrible at his job. Now, Dolan is going to say to Steve Mills, okay, I trust you. You have final say. And so the next GM doesn't want to come in and say, okay, well, I'm going to do all this. I'm going to trade this guy. I want to do this. I want to sign this guy. And then have Steve Mills, best buddy in the pocket of the owner, say no to everything. Because then you have basically your legs are cut off at your knees. Self-respecting general managers don't want to work for James Dolan unless he overpays like crazy. Because there are enemies within the franchise, and you cannot defeat those enemies. It's so dysfunctional, it's beyond repair. And it starts at the top of the owner. All right, let's bring you the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the Cut Line.
Mark Cuban says if the Mavericks were in the Eastern Conference, they wouldn't be rebuilding. He told ESPN, there's no question about it. If we were in the East, we would not be rebuilding. We'd be handling things differently. I think I'm going to kidnap Adam Silver and not let him out until he moves us to the East. Given where we are, given where the Warriors are and what's happening in the West, it kind of sealed what we have to do. End of quote. This was one of their worst seasons since Cuban purchased the team 17 years ago. They're coming off a 33-win season. And what they're doing is they're starting to build with young guys. They drafted Dennis Smith. They have Harrison Barnes, who's 25. They have 23-year-old Nerlens Noel. And basically what you have is the Mavs always trying to be competitive because of Dirk Nowitzki. Going, well, that's not going to work anymore, so let's totally reboot. And I think there's a lot of truth to what Mark Cuban says. If you're in the East, look, that doesn't necessarily make you a playoff team, having those three guys, but it's not nearly as daunting as in the West, and that's why I would be completely supportive of a reseeded NBA playoffs, 1 through 16. I think it'd be a much better way to go. I would love to see it. But you know it's never going to happen.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
We are now more fortunate because our NFL games on TV won't have Viagra and Cialis ads. They have declined to buy in on the new TV advertisement packages this upcoming football season. You might say, oh, that's great. That means that the NFL finally says, okay, well, we want to clean up the broadcast. We don't need women on docks with a come-hither look, trying to get their men all hot and bothered. We want to make it kind of more family-friendly. Oh, no, that's not the reason. It's because Viagra and Cialis said, we're not going to advertise anymore because we will be available as generic drugs soon. And so now we don't have to market specific brands of the drug. You know, so Target basically is going to make Viagra. So that should be fun for everybody.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Like, you'll just get CVS edition pee-pee pills. So look out for those. They'll be a great value. 20-pack for $4.99 with your CVS card.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And 5 years after Texas A&M and Mizzou joined the SEC, we kick off SEC Media Days today. And boy, did that end up turning into a huge financial boon for both of those schools. How about this? The year before A&M and Mizzou joined the SEC, the SEC gave out about $19 million per school. Last year, the SEC gave out $40 million per school. In 5 years, the per school payout more than doubled. You think A&M and Mizzou like getting $40 million a year just by playing in the SEC? I think the A&M fit has been fantastic for that school. I think it works in the SEC. I don't think Mizzou works in the SEC. I mean, when you think about Mizzou's great rivals, Nebraska, Kansas, it's just weird for Mizzou to have conference games against Florida and Georgia. I think it's awkward at best. But if you're in Missouri and you get paid that much money, and the Big 12 was obviously taking on water and still is, it's a no-brainer for you. They won the SEC East twice in football, went to two SEC championship games, which is crazy when it comes to Florida, Tennessee, and Georgia being unable to do it. But it still doesn't feel right. I mean, Mizzou and the SEC still doesn't. I think A&M does at this point. I think Mizzou and the SEC East still feels very bizarre.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right, that is your cut line this morning. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And do you name your car? To name the car or to not name the car? Tis the question.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Can you name a car?
No, you can't. No, you can't.
You say no.
I say absolutely not.
Hey, peeps. Welcome to another work week.
I think the naming for stuff like that is for boats, for luck. It's not like you're pink.
People do name boats.
Yes, but they paint the name on the boat,
correct,
too.
Correct, yeah.
I have never seen like a Jeep Cherokee flying down a parkway with, you know, Bob the Third written on the side.
I just wanted to say thank you so much for the hundreds of suggestions for what I should name my new car.
Body Bilotti, do you support the naming of vehicles?
I do, but don't get too crazy about it. My car that just got into the major accident.
Yeah, with the possum.
With the possum that still hasn't been completely fixed.
Yeah.
Is named Mickey after Burgess Meredith.
You know, kid, I know how you feel about this fight that's coming up.
You named your car Mickey after Burgess Meredith.
In Rocky.
You named it.
Come on. And by the way, naming it really brought his car good luck too, huh?
So you're okay with Amy naming her Subaru Forester Princess Leia?
You know, give me something a little more practical.
Okay.
You know, something that's not like that.
Uh-huh.
And don't open it up to the public. But she can name it whatever she wants, but I would rather not do it like that.
Uh-huh.
For my 2015 Subaru Forester.
The question, though, is when you come out to your driveway,
yeah,
and your car is parked there,
yes,
do you, once you've named it, are you now saying hello to it by its name? Like, is she walking out going, hello, Princess Leia? Is he going out going, hey, Mickey? Or you just walk out and start the car?
I don't know. This seems to be the behavior of crazy people. I don't know. I would name a boat. I would never name a car. I think naming a car is the behavior of psychopaths.
She's special. May I present Princess Leia, my new vehicle.
Yeah, I don't mind it. If you're going to get crazy, get crazy. She didn't name it Cynthia.
I think I'd be more pro-Cynthia.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Our listeners are making a strong case that it is completely acceptable to name cars. Chris tweets in DA, how about naming of boats? Yes, we've talked about that. Naming cars is a common thing for ladies, particularly actual people names, into anthropomorphizing.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
I don't know. I still feel like it's odd because why does your car get named and not your toaster? It's just a machine. I mean, why are we so attached? I guess because it's a really large purchase, but do you name your house?
You don't just give it a light squeeze. I mean, you have to really pull and yank at the udder.
Do you name your hammock? You spend, would you name your bed? You spend more time in your bed than your car. Do you name your bed? What's the bit about naming vehicles? What's the bit? What is the bit about naming cars? The listeners are defending it. So maybe I'm the goofball here. Maybe I'm the crackpot. Maybe I'm the meatball. I don't know. I'm certainly open to that possibility. I just feel like if you're going to name your car and you're going to name your boat, when does it stop? You name your favorite hat? You name your favorite crock pot? What's my crock pot going to be named? I mean, look, I got that Sleep Number bed. It's the greatest purchase I've ever had. It's the greatest thing I own. It's the only thing that keeps my relationship together. My girlfriend won't leave me because the bed's so good. Should I name it? Should I name it Han Solo? Should I name it Jar Jar Sleep? Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Chris Venezia is your digital broadcast producer, doing a great job. Yeoman's work today. Put on a good broadcast. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good. Be good to one another. Trash Tuesday tomorrow, and I'm raring to go. I'm DA, and the Mothership disconnects.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.